Ruth chapter number one. I want to thank all of those that filled in while we were away last Wednesday night and then Sunday, and heard nothing but wonderful things about Sunday. Went back and listened to Pastor Stark's messages, and to God be the glory. Amen. And good messages on Sunday, and thankful for Dayton filling in behind the pulpit here for the music. And so thankful for that. We were at church Sunday morning. We finished Sunday school and looked up, and there was the Fry family. Brother Steve grew up about 45 minutes up in Virginia from where Beverly is from. And so they are over visiting his folks. And they came down Sunday morning for the service. And so without even knowing it, we had six friends for friend day, the Fries and then Brother Steve's mom and dad. And I asked the pastor, I said, do we get a prize for having the most friends on friend day? And he just, stop it. But I was so thankful they came down and just had a good time there. I know they're having a good time with Brother Steve's family. And just grateful for all those that filled in and helped. And just thankful to be able to. I enjoy going places. I enjoy going to see her mom. I enjoyed seeing my daughter this week. I enjoyed preaching. But I love coming home. There's nothing like home, and I'm thankful for it. And we got home about 9 o'clock last night and was glad to be home. And so Ruth chapter number one tonight, just really a simple message tonight as we continue our thought about generational hope. We've been speaking about that quite a bit over the past three or four months. And tonight's message, as simple as it may be, I pray that it'll be an encouragement to us as we think about this thought of generational hope. The pastor there at the church we were at, the church that Beverly grew up in, is where we were at, and without even knowing, he talked a little bit. We had some time, just the two of us, Saturday morning during the men's prayer meeting, and we met together and prayed together. And without even knowing what I had been preaching through over the past 3 or 4 months, he started speaking about this. He didn't call it generational hope. He just talked about, because we were praying, and I was asking if there was anything specific I could pray for. And he is extremely burdened about what he says is a generation that they're missing in their church. And that's what we've been speaking about all this time, is generational hope. We need to give the next generation and the next generation. Really, when we say that, the truth is, in a church, you really have 3, 4, maybe even 5 generations represented, or at least you should. And so when we talk about generational hope, we're not just talking about the littlest of the littles, even though we are speaking about those. We're talking about the oldest generation all the way down to the youngest generation, because if there is a gap anywhere from the oldest to the youngest, we've got a problem. If maybe the middle-aged folks have kind of dropped out, we have a problem. If the young adults have dropped out, we have a problem. If the teenagers have dropped out, then we have a great problem. And then if we lose the little ones when they get older, then we have a great problem. The point is, we have to capture every single generation. We can't drop the ball. There can't be a link missing in any generation, because if we do, we have trouble. We have problems. We have problems in our nation. We have problems in our churches. We have problems in our homes and in our families. And so tonight, we're not going to look at the entirety of the book of Ruth. We'll jump around just a little bit, but primarily I just want to look at Ruth chapter number one. And I want to bring us a message tonight entitled, It Is Possible. It is possible. And what I'm speaking about tonight is the fact that it is possible to follow God no matter what. It is possible to faithfully follow God no matter the times, no matter the circumstances, no matter what, for that matter. It is possible to faithfully follow God, even when maybe everybody else isn't. It is possible. And we have several individuals, characters in the book of Ruth that prove that to us. It's not just Ruth, although we'll look at her tonight. It's not just Ruth that proves that to us, but really there are at least two, and possibly we could say three, but at least two characters in the book of Ruth that prove to us that it is possible to faithfully follow God no matter the circumstance, no matter the day, no matter the time, no matter what's going on. So let's look at this tonight. Let's begin reading there in verse number 1 of Ruth chapter number 1. The Bible says, "Now it came to pass in the days when the judges ruled that there was a famine in the land." Now don't miss that. This story, true story about Ruth. By the way, we know it's true because of the characters that we find in the book of Ruth. It's absolutely a true story. But notice the setting. It's set in the times when what? When the judges ruled. Okay, go back over probably just one page. What was the environment? What was the atmosphere when the judges ruled? Judges 21, the very last verse of the book. Judges 21, verse number 25. "In those days, there was no king in Israel." That's why the judges ruled. "There was no king in Israel. Every man did that which was right in his own eyes." Boy, we are hastening toward that in our nation, aren't we? Everybody does what they think is right. Here's the thing. Everybody has an opinion, but your opinion is just that. My opinion is just that. If it doesn't square up with the Word of God, you better throw that opinion in the trash can. Amen and amen and amen and amen. If it doesn't square up with God's Word, I don't care what your opinion is. And by the way, if mine doesn't square up with God's Word, you ought not care what my opinion is. It better square up with the Word of God. And the Bible says, in this day, in the days that they lived, it was the day when everybody... Now, by the way, it wasn't everybody. We know that because of what we find here in the book of Ruth. But it says, it was the time when the judges ruled. And the Bible says, every man did that which was right in his own eyes. Ruth 1:1. He said, "There was a famine in the land. And a certain man of Bethlehem, Judah, went to sojourn in the country of Moab, he and his wife and his two sons. And the name of the man was Elimelech, and the name of his wife, Naomi, and the name of his two sons, Mahlon and Chilion." And some people pronounce that Kilion, and that's okay, but I-C-C-H-I-L-I, that's Chili to me. But that's just me. I'm from Tennessee. "And Chilion died also, both of them, and the woman was left of her two sons and her husband." And so tonight, let's look at this truth. It is possible to faithfully follow God. Father, help us tonight. Teach us. Father, make us better for being here tonight. Stir our hearts. Just remind us maybe of some truths that we have allowed to wane in our lives tonight. And Father, this is the Wednesday night crowd, and I know it, and I know I may not be telling them anything new, but I pray that it would stir our hearts a little bit tonight. And Father, I pray that we would be reminded that it is possible. It is possible to faithfully follow You, no matter the day, no matter the time, no matter the circumstances. Father, our faithfulness to You should never be determined by our circumstances. Ever. If things are good, or at least they're perceived to be good, we should follow You. If our circumstances are dire and troubling, we should still follow You. So, Lord, I pray that You'd remind us of that tonight. Father, thank You for our children. Thank You for the good time You've already given us with them in the Bible lesson time. Lord, I thank You for our teenagers. I pray that You'd help them tonight. Help every individual that's on this property tonight. There might be individuals, I have no doubt, there's some children, maybe some teenagers on this property tonight that need to be saved. They've never come to the knowledge of Christ. They've never had their sins forgiven and washed and plunged beneath the blood of Christ. Father, I pray tonight might be that night of salvation. I pray the same for anyone in this auditorium tonight who has never come to Christ, who has never, never been born again. I pray that tonight might be their night of salvation. Father, I do pray that you'd be with those that are away from us tonight for whatever reason, some working, some traveling. Father, some probably sick tonight. We just ask for your hand of blessing upon them, even at this very moment. And we'll thank you for what you'll do in our hearts in these next few moments. And we pray this in Christ's name. Amen. First of all, tonight, it is possible. It is possible to faithfully follow God in spite of the perilous day. It is possible to faithfully follow God in spite of the perilous day. We've already read Judges chapter number 21 and verse number 25. The Bible says every man did that which was right in his own eyes. But I'd like for you to take your Bibles to a very familiar passage in the New Testament, 2 Timothy chapter number 3. It is possible tonight to faithfully follow, to faithfully walk with God, to faithfully follow, to faithfully live for God. Number one tonight, in spite of the perilous days. And I would submit to us tonight, I don't think anyone would necessarily argue this truth tonight, that we live in the year 2022, we live in perilous days. And I say that because almost every characteristic trait, by the way, I think we could say every character trait that is mentioned in 2 Timothy chapter number 3 is present in the day and time in which we live. The Bible says in 2 Timothy chapter number 3, this know also, verse number 1, that in the last days perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves. We hammered that home with our teenagers a couple weeks ago when we my wife and I took them on a trip. If you notice, really every characteristic after the first one really harkens back to the first one. The Bible says, for men shall be lovers of their own selves. And we live in a day of selfishness. And by the way, all of us can fall into that. I don't say that as a condemnation just to our nation. I say that as a condemnation to all of us because every single one of us, saved and unsaved, individual who strives to be right with God or maybe a Christian who really doesn't care, all of us can fall into that trap of selfishness. I was thinking even Saturday, and y'all know, I enjoy Tennessee football. We had a service Saturday night at 6 o'clock, Eastern time. It was only halftime when we went to church. And I'm like, yeah. They're playing well, but they're only up 8. And it's Alabama. This may or may not turn out okay, but you know, we went to church. And on the way to church, I was like, Lord, you know I like Tennessee football, but Lord, I enjoy preaching more than that. And if they win, I'll be excited. If they don't win, it'll be okay. Life will still go on. But my thought, here's my thought. I watched, and my son Josh and I were watching the game and watching the first half, and I thought to myself, you know, here are probably 102, 103,000, maybe 104. I don't know how many were there Saturday. I think the capacity is like 102,000 plus. But here are 102,000 people. That's a lot of people. Isn't that? That's a lot of people. 102,000 people screaming and yelling. They're Tennessee football fans. Nothing wrong with this. Well, some of you might say there's something wrong with it, but nothing necessarily wrong with cheering at a football game. But I thought, why is it that we get so excited about a football game, but we don't get that excited many times about the things of God? That's a sad indictment on us. That we get so excited about a football game, but man, when it comes to the things of God, I thought to myself as I was watching that, I wonder how many of those people will be in church tomorrow. How many of those people will be, based on what happened Saturday night, probably not very many of them. How many of those people are going to be in church tomorrow? I think it was funny. We finished the service. We finished about 7:10, 7:15. We had a prayer meeting afterward because Sunday they had Friend Day. And so we had a prayer meeting for the Friend Day. And so we prayed. And the pastor came up and he was going to close in prayer. And he came up and he was probably about halfway through his prayer and my phone started buzzing. So I pulled it out and it was my son. the one that was home. I know what he's calling about. I don't know if it's good or bad. I don't know. And so we get out of church and we're headed home, and I call him and I said, "Man, we were still in church." "Yeah, but I checked the live stream. It was off. Y'all were finished." I said, "Yeah, but we were still praying." But it buzzed. Nobody knew that it rang. But I was just thinking to myself, man, we get so excited about that. And then when it comes to spiritual matters, by the way, the most important thing in our life, Jesus Christ has given to us and supplied the greatest need that we have. And that's for our sins to be forgiven. And He has supplied the greatest need. He gave it to us. And it's hard for us to get excited sometimes. And by the way, I know our lives aren't based, our Christian lives aren't based on emotion. I get that. We don't live every day based on our feelings. But I won't tell you feelings. But I tell you what, as a Christian, and based upon what Christ has done for us, we ought to get excited. By the way, based upon what Pastor Stark preached Sunday, you ought to have been excited after you left here Sunday. To God be the glory. I was excited. I wasn't even here. To God be the glory. How great Thou art. I went back yesterday on our way home and I watched the services, and my, I don't even know how many people were here. I imagine there wasn't a ton because everybody was out of town, but it was good. That ought to excite our hearts to know that we serve the God that has done everything for us. But I think to myself how selfish we can be sometimes. How all about me and all about self. And the Bible says that the first characteristic, the first evidence of perilous days and perilous times is that men shall be lovers of their own selves. By the way, why do so many people who call themselves Christians and say, "Yes, I know Christ is my Savior, and yes, He saved me from my sins," how come so many of them can be so easily taken away from the house of God? It's because of self. It's because of selfishness. Continue on. Covetous. Is that not a result of selfishness? Boasters. Is that not a result of selfishness? Proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents. Is that not a result of selfishness? Unthankful, unholy. Apostle Paul, and I know I mention this verse quite often, I pray it never gets repetitious to us, but the Apostle Paul in 2 Corinthians 5, he said, "The love of Christ constraineth me." Unholy. Look, the love of Christ ought to constrain me to live a holy life. Separated, consecrated to the One who gave everything for me. Verse 3, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good. Traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. The Apostle Paul, he's telling Timothy, look, this is going to be what characterizes, these are all the different traits that are going to characterize perilous times. And we have all of those today. But I say to us tonight that we can live, we can faithfully follow our God, we can faithfully walk with Him, faithfully live for Him, in spite of the perilous day in which we live. Say, "Pastor, how do you know that?" Drop down if you would. Look at verse number 13. Actually, let's just look at verse 12. He says, "Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall do what? Suffer persecution. But evil men and seducers shall wax what? Worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived." And notice what he tells Timothy. He says, but do what? Continue! Hey, Timothy, evil seducers, evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. But Timothy, continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them. Timothy, continue. By the way, that's why it's so vital. It's one thing to teach. It's another thing for someone to have a desire to follow what you teach. And the only way the next generation, the next generation, the next generation, the only way they're going to have a desire to follow what we teach is when they see us living it out. When they see, hey, that's genuine, that's real. What they preach and what they teach, that's real to them. Not saying that they're perfect, not saying that they're perfect at it, but hey, maybe I want to follow what my dad teaches because it's real to him. He's genuine in what he believes. He's genuine in what he preaches. And if we want to affect generation after generation, hey, if we want to affect the young couples in our church, if we want to affect the teenagers, the young adults and the little ones in our church, if we want to affect the middle-aged people in our church and every generation in our church and every generation outside of this church, every generation that we work with, every generation in our family, every generation that we have influence over, we have to be genuine. And it is possible to follow God, to follow Him faithfully in spite of the perilous day. You're here in 2 Timothy 3. Drop back just a few pages. Look at Galatians chapter number 6. By the way, while you turn there, I love that verse in 2 Timothy 3:14. He says, "But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them." Paul carried weight. By the way, it wasn't just Paul. It was Timothy's mama and grandmama. Because in the very next verse, verse number 15, he says, "And that from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus." Hey, Timothy, evil men and seducers are going to wax worse and worse, but Timothy, continue. Continue. And by the way, continue in what? Continue just working yourself up and just staying faithful and being what you ought to be? No. Continue in what? What makes the difference? The Word. "But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of." It's the Word. How is it possible for me to faithfully follow God in the perilous day in which we live? It's God's Word. What do we say? We've said this so many times recently. Courage. What is the biblical definition of courage? Faith in God's promises. Faith in God's promises. That's how I live courageously. Not because, oh man, Pastor, you can do it because you're a super Christian. No, I'm not. No, I can do it, and every single one of us can do it courageously because we have faith in God's promises. Because we simply say, okay, I understand the world has lost its mind, but God's Word is still true, and that's where I'm going to stay. God's Word is still always true, and I'm just going to stay with this. I just tend to believe that if I'll just stay with this, then even though everything around me may be crumbling, I'm not going to crumble. If my family will stay with this, everything around in this world may crumble, but my family's not going to crumble. Hey, our church family's not going to crumble. Number one, it is possible. I had you turn to Galatians 6. Verse number 7, the Bible says, "Be not deceived. God is not mocked, for whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall love the flesh, reap corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall love the Spirit, reap life everlasting." Verse 9. "And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall" what? "Reap if we faint not." Hey, moms and dads tonight, some of you still have little ones at home. Maybe today it doesn't feel like you're reaping anything. I'm doing what the Bible says. And it's not working. It does work. "Let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. You may not feel like it's working today, but if you'll stay at it, it will work. It does work. It always works because it's God's Word. It's God's method. And we'll reap if we don't faint. It is possible in spite of the perilous day. Number two, it is possible in spite of the perceived defeats. It is possible. Look back at Ruth chapter 1 if you would. It is possible in spite of the perilous day. It is possible in spite of the perceived defeats. Look again at verse number 3 if you would. The Bible says, and Elimelech, Naomi's husband died, and she was left and her two sons, and they took them wives of the women of Moab. The name of the one was Orpah, and the name of the other Ruth. And they dwelled there about 10 years. And Mahlon and Chilion died also, both of them. And the woman was left of her two sons and her husband. I tell you tonight, it is still possible to faithfully follow God in spite, first of all, of the perilous day, but in spite of perceived defeats. Naomi lost her husband, lost her two sons. Orpah and Ruth lost their husbands. And by the way, this isn't the message tonight. We're not coming here tonight necessarily. Elimelech was not in God's will going down to Moab. Okay? He should not have left Bethlehem. But Pastor, there's a famine. He had to leave Bethlehem. Not everybody else did. By the way, Boaz didn't leave. See, Elimelech wasn't in God's will going down to Moab. It wasn't God's will for Elimelech to go down there. But Romans 8, 28, he still worked it for his good. And God can still do that, but it wasn't God's will for them to go down there. But here's Naomi down in a strange land in Moab. And she's lost everything. She tells her two daughter-in-laws to go back. Drop down if you would. Verse number 12, the Bible says, "Turn again, my daughters, go your way, for I am too old to have an husband. If I should say I have hope, if I should have an husband also tonight and should also bear sons, would ye tarry for them till they were grown? Would ye stay for them from having husbands? Nay, my daughters, for it grieveth me much for your sakes that the hand of the Lord has gone out against me." And they lifted up their voice and wept again, and Orpah kissed her mother-in-law, but Ruth clave unto her. And she said, "Behold, thy sister-in-law has gone back unto her people and unto her gods. Return thou after thy sister-in-law." If you're in the habit of marking things in your Bible, maybe you're not. If you're not, that's okay. You ought to mark verse number 16. And Ruth said, "Entreat me not to leave thee, or to return from following after thee. For whither thou goest, I will go, and where thou lodgest, I will lodge." Did you notice what she said in verse 15? She said, look, Orpah has gone back to her people and gone back to her gods. But in verse number 16, Ruth said, no, I don't want to go back. She said, "Whither thou goest, I will go, and where thou lodgest, I will lodge. Thy people shall be my people, and thy God, my God. Where thou diest," verse 17, "will I die, and there will I be buried. The Lord do so to me and more also, if aught but death part thee and me." First of all, it is possible in spite of the perilous day. It is possible in spite of the perceived defeats. It is possible to continue to faithfully follow God. My son was telling me today about an evangelist, a guy he listens to quite a bit, but he was telling me today that this evangelist, his wife, has cancer. And they're young. I say they're young because they're my age, and so now they're young. But they're not old. She has cancer. It's very serious. She's had it since January, and they've done numerous surgeries. And I went back and looked when he told me about it, and they've done numerous surgeries and treatments and different things. And right now they're praying and asking for a miracle. And I went back through some of his Facebook post, and the evangelist just went back through and was looking through them, and he's trusting God. By the way, which is what we should do. He's just trusting God. It is still possible to faithfully follow God in spite of perceived defeats. He doesn't know what's going to happen to his wife. He doesn't know if the treatments are going to bring her through and are going to heal her physical body. He doesn't know if God's going to do a miracle in her body and lift her up and bring her back to. He doesn't know. But he's still preaching, still serving God, still loving God. Because we can still live faithfully and follow faithfully in spite of perceived defeats. Now, by the way, I can stand and say that tonight because I still have my wife. As best I know, we don't have any physical issues right now. I can say that because I still have my 3 kids, and as best I know, we don't have any physical issues. And so I understand tonight that's easier said than done. I get that tonight. But the Bible is always true. Ruth shows us tonight that it is possible to still faithfully follow God in spite of perceived defeats. And by the way, here's a young lady, a Moabitess. She didn't grow up the way her husband grew up. She didn't grow up learning about Jehovah God. But she married a man who served Jehovah God, and she said, you know what? That's my God. All these other gods, my sister-in-law Orpah, she went back to her family and she went back to our gods. But I'm not going back to those gods anymore. I believe in the God. And Naomi, wherever you go, wherever you lodge, that's where I'm going. I'm going with you. Because you're my family now. Because your son was my husband and you're my family now, that's where I'm going. And your God is my God. Let me give you number 3. Number 1, it is possible in spite of the perilous day. It is possible, in spite of the perceived defeats. So listen, then, I don't know what you're going through tonight. I know what maybe some folks are going through tonight, but I don't know what everybody's going through tonight. But can I tell every single one of us tonight, it is possible to faithfully follow God in spite of perceived defeats. Because they're only perceived in our human eyes. They're not defeats in God's eyes. God's going to work it for His good. But how many times do Christians, things come into their lives? And the pastor I was with this weekend, he was telling me about a gentleman, a number of years ago, an older gentleman in their church that he had gotten saved and a number of things. And he was serving in the church. He was driving a van. He was doing so many different things. And all of these bad things started happening. I think he got sick, not terminally, but he just had some sickness for several months and some things started happening in his family. And he just came to the pastor and said, look, before I got saved, everything was good. After I got saved, everything's bad. I'm not coming back. You know what happened? The devil won. Now, the devil can't take his soul, but the devil won. In his eyes, in human eyes, he thought, oh man, this Christian, it just brings defeat in my life. My physical health and my family, it's just, I'm defeated. Instead of allowing God to refine him and purify him and bring him out as pure gold, that's what God desires to do. In spite of the perilous day, in spite of the perceived defeats, thirdly, it is possible to faithfully follow God. Number 3, with principled devotion. In spite of the perilous day, in spite of the perceived defeats, with principled devotion to God and to God's Word. To God and to God's Word. We don't have time tonight to read, but she goes back with Naomi. We know the story. And she goes out and she wants to be a help. She goes out and she's gleaning in the barley fields. She's working. She's a worker. And she goes out and gleans in the barley fields. And this man, Boaz, takes notice. But I want you to go to the end of the book, if you would, chapter number 4. It is possible. We look at Elimelech, and Elimelech really, he, for all intents and purposes, he said it's not possible. And so he leaves Bethlehem and he goes to Moab. Ruth and Boaz, even though we look a whole lot at Boaz tonight, he's the kinsman redeemer, but Boaz says, you know what, it is possible, I'm going to stay. And he stays in Bethlehem. And by the way, God blesses him. Look at chapter 2. I had you turn to chapter 4, but look at chapter number 2. Verse number 1, the Bible says, "And Naomi had a kinsman of her husband's, a mighty man of wealth, of the family of Elimelech." Same family. That's why he's the kinsman redeemer. He's of the same family. His name was Boaz. Elimelech left. Boaz stayed. Elimelech went to Moab when the famine came. Boaz stayed. He faithfully followed God in spite of the perilous day, in spite of the perceived defeats, and he did it with principled devotion. By the way, Ruth did the same thing. And because of that, you know the story. Ruth chapter number 4, look down at verse 13. Ruth chapter 4 and verse number 13. You want to talk about generational hope? From two individuals who said it is possible. From Boaz and Ruth. Again, Ruth, she didn't grow up the same way Boaz did. She didn't grow up the same way her husband did. She didn't grow up the same way Elimelech did or Naomi did, learning about Jehovah God. She didn't grow up that way. But she said, you know what? There's something different about that God, and that's the God I want. Notice verse number 13. So Boaz took Ruth, and she was his wife. When he went in unto her, the Lord gave her a conception, and she bare a son. And the women said unto Naomi, "Blessed be the Lord, which hath not left thee this day without a kinsman, that his name may be famous in Israel. And he shall be unto thee a restorer of thy life, and a nourisher of thine old age, for thy daughter-in-law, which loveth thee, which is better to thee than seven sons, hath borne him." And Naomi took the child and laid it in her bosom and became nurse unto it. And the women, her neighbors, gave it a name, saying, "There is a son born to Naomi." They called his name Obed. He is the father of Jesse, the father of David. Obed was the father of Jesse, Jesse the father of David. And here we have David's great-grandmother, great-grandfather, great-grandmother, great-grandfather, Boaz and Ruth, saying, you know what, it's possible. Look at the day in which we live. It's the time when the judges rule. Every man does that which is right in his own eyes. Not Boaz, not Ruth. Every man did that which was right in his own eyes. Maybe everybody around you does what they want to do. Maybe everybody around you doesn't do what the Bible says. Maybe everybody around you, maybe you perceive that they're doing very well and they are prospering even though they don't follow the Word of God. Let everybody else do what they do. You do what God tells you to do. Let everybody else do what they think is right in their own eyes. Let us do what the Word says. Because that is the only way that we're not going to have a gap in the generations. If we begin to do what we want to do, we're going to lose a generation, if not two or three or four. Boaz said it. Ruth said no. God brings them together. And they have a little boy named Obed. Obed has a little boy. His name is Jesse. Jesse has a little boy. Actually, he has 8 boys, but he has a little boy named David. We know that in the years to come, there's going to be another son born from the line of David, the Savior of all the world, as prophesied. Why? Because a couple of people said, it's possible. It's possible to still serve God. I dream sometimes, I think sometimes, I wonder if there's going to be a young man come out of our church that's going to be a great evangelist, a great missionary, simply because a mom and a dad and a church for 75 years almost have said, you know what, it's possible. It's possible to still serve God. It's possible to still live a holy life. It's possible to still faithfully follow God. It's still possible to live a holy life even if nobody else wants to. It's still possible. And we're going to do it not because of ourselves, but we're going to do it for the next generation and the next generation and the next generation and the next generation. Because, you know, we would tend to kind of like Maranatha Baptist Church to continue for generation after generation after generation. It's possible. Don't let the world tell you otherwise. By the way, don't let your family tell you otherwise. Don't let your coworkers tell you otherwise. Don't let people in the church tell you otherwise. It's possible. In spite of the perilous day. You know what you do? When you look around and you see all the foolishness going on, you just stay with what the Bible says. In spite of the perceived defeats. You know what you do when the devil takes both feet and just jumps on you and pounds on you for weeks on end? You know what you do? You just stay with the Word. Because it sure feels that way sometimes, doesn't it? Get off of me! You ever felt that way? You ever felt like just pounding on you for weeks on end? Here's the truth. He may be pounding, but the one who is helping you up, the one who's protecting you, the one who's giving you the strength, is so much greater than he is. You know the verse, 1 John 4:4, greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. It is possible. In spite of the perilous day, in spite of the perceived defeats, with principled devotion. You may not have a David, but then again you might. You might. You might have a daughter who God calls to marry a missionary. Takes her on the other side of the world. It might sadden your heart a little bit, but boy, He'll use her mightily. You never know. It is possible. Father, we love You tonight. Father, help us to stay at it in spite of the perilous day. In spite of the perceived defeats. With principled devotion. Ruth said, Your God is my God. And Father, you're the God we serve tonight. You're the God of Ruth, the same God of Ruth. Ruth is our God tonight. And the same God that can do great wonders and do such a great work really in the midst of bad decisions is the same God that can do the same thing in our lives today. Father, help us. Help us to remember. Help us to be reminded it is possible. Thank You, Lord. Thank You for Your Word. Thank You for the examples that You give us that strengthen us, that undergird us, that give us encouragement to stay at it and keep at it. Father, thank You for Ruth. Thank You for Boaz. Father, help us tonight. Give us safety as we go to our homes. Help us as we pray. Lord, incline Your ear toward us. And we'll thank You for it. We pray this in Christ's name. Amen. It's almost 8 o'clock. If you can stay, I'd encourage you to do so. Let's pray a little while if you can. If you need to go, I understand that. Do not forget, Saturday at 5 o'clock, the steak supper. I hope you'll be here for that. But let's pray.